your Bibles to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Good to have Juanita back with us tonight. We're thankful. Good to be here, isn't it? Tapes. It's nothing like the live, warm bodies and the live reading and hearing of the Word gathered with God's people. Can't replace it. The Lord said that He would be present with when His people gathered. Look at verse 5, Psalm 146. This is the verse that so very clearly came to my mind in studying Jacob. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Jacob, whose hope is in Jacob's God. Happy. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Now, this should be a message of great comfort to sons of Jacob. And we need to look at Jacob. We need to understand who Jacob is in order to understand Jacob's God. And we need to feel like we're a Jacob in order to be happy that Jacob's God is our God. So we're going to look at Jacob first and then Jacob's God. All right, turn with me to Genesis 25. Genesis 25, where the story starts. Jacob. And we'll be looking, I told Brother Nybert, I was talking to him on the phone, that this is just not the way I normally preach. I take a text and then go all over. I just don't feel comfortable doing that, but that's what we're going to do tonight. But we're going to devote our time between Genesis and Isaiah. We're going to look at those two books, so if you want to mark those two books, we'll be, and a few others here and there. All right, who is Jacob? Who is Jacob? Who is Jacob? Chapter 25, look at verses 24 through 28. Now, when Isaac's wife, Rebekah, her days were delivered, were fulfilled. There were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. After that came out his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 80 years old, 60 when his wife bare them, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was just a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. He supplied his dad with good meat, but Rebekah loved Jacob. All right, who is Jacob? It says there, just a plain man. And that word plain means just an ordinary man, just a common man, nothing really special, dwell in tents. Nothing remarkable about him. His mother loved him. You know, that could be said about every boy. That his mother loves him. And we're going to see this is a man that only a mother could love. But look at Malachi. Malachi, you need to look at this. This needs to be a passage you need to mark in your Bible or memorize it. In the book of Malachi, I tell you, somebody else will love Jacob. And this is why Jacob became who he was and what all happened to Jacob. God loved him. Now, there are two sons, weren't there? Two sons, Jacob and Esau. Same father and mother. Same father and mother. One seemed to be more appealing in the flesh, Esau, certainly to our generation, Esau would have been, you know, this world would have chosen Esau He's an outgoing, robust, outdoors one. He'd been on that Survivor program with a hero. Not Jacob. Just a plain man. Well intent. His mother loved him. That doesn't mean we've wrongly got the picture of Jacob before. He's not sissy, not a wimp, not a. Nevertheless, there were two sons, both of them from identical parents. One, the older one, seemed to be more appealing. The other one quite ordinary. But Jacob was loved and chosen by God. Look at Malachi 1, verses 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi 1. This is the word of the Lord to Israel. Who's Israel? That's Jacob. That's his name. God changed. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, oh, how? Wherein hath you loved us? Well, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. Now, when did God set his love on Jacob? When did God choose Jacob? Romans 9:11 says that the children, before they were, when they were not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So before the children were born, before they'd done any good or evil, before there were any distinguishing marks in them, God said, I chose Jacob. He elected Jacob. And Paul went on to say, what shall we say to these things? Huh? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel of under and this and that and the other? Huh? Sure. So Jacob, and Jacob sure glad God chose him. He was chosen and loved by God. And that made him an object of God's love and God's purpose. That made him in God's purpose, that the purpose of God according to election, that it would stand. God said, I've chosen some. I've chosen some. In Exodus, he said, I will be merciful to whom I will. None deserve it. And we're going to see that whoever is in this saving purpose of God is in it forever. So the word chosen is a wonderful word. Loved. God set his love on Jacob. Purpose is a wonderful word. Jacob was a sinner. Look at chapter 25, Genesis 25. Jacob was a sinner. That's what his name means. His name means a usurper, a supplanter. Remember, we just read where it says he reached hold and grabbed a hold of his brother's heel, as if to say, "No, I want out first." Huh? That's what happened there. Esau was being born, and Jacob, the next one, grabbed a hold of his heel. Come back here, me first. And we're going to see that's what he was like from that day forward. He resented his older brother and wanted what he had coming to him. He was a sinner. Look at verses 29 through 34. He deceived his brother. Verse 29, Jacob sod pottage. He was a cook. Esau came from the field. He was faint. Jacob was making some soup. Esau had been out hunting however long. And Esau said to Jacob when he came in, I'm... Feed me, I pray thee, with that red soup, or pottage. I'm faint. His name was called Edom, red. That is Esau. And Jacob said, in other words, Esau was just really tired and hungry, been gone a long time, said, I'm dying of hunger. You ever said that? I'm dying of hunger. Give me some of that soup, younger brother. And Jacob said, now this didn't just pop. This just wasn't just off the top of his head. He'd been looking for an opportunity. to swindle his brother out of the birthright. Now, the birthright was the rights of the oldest son to the inheritance of the father. The birthright was the place of prominence, the place of leadership, the spiritual leader, and just everything that went with the birthright. And spiritually speaking, the birthright was a person's God-given position in the family to lead the family spiritually. And Jacob wanted that, you know, for evil purposes. He wanted that position. So this wasn't just, Nancy, this wasn't off the top of his head. He'd been thinking about it a long time. He said it off the quick. Give me your birthright. I'm sure Esau thought, what? Sell me your birthright, he said. Verse 32, Esau said, I'm dying of hunger. Birthright? What good's a birthright? Take the birthright. Now they were both, Esau, this is why God said he hated Esau. There's no problem in understanding why God hated Esau. Esau said, I don't care anything about that birthright. Take it. I just want something to eat. So Jacob was a sinner and Esau was too. But Jacob said, swear to me now, swear to me. Verse 33. And Esau swore to him. He sold him his birthright. And Jacob gave Esau something to eat. Esau despised. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So he deceived his brother, didn't he? Now Esau was a rotten, no good sinner for despising his birthright. Jacob was a rotten, no good sinner for cheating him out of his birthright. So see, neither one of them were worth anything. Jacob, but one of them was a chosen sinner. They were both sinners, no good sinners, rotten. God should have had nothing to do with either one of them, but God chose Jacob. But Jacob was chosen, loved by God. Jacob was in God's saving purpose. Jacob was a no good sinner. Just a sinner. He couldn't add anything or do anything for God. Alright? Jacob deceived his father. How bad was Jacob? He not only deceived his brother, he deceived his father, Brother Henry. Doesn't he have a conscience? His poor, blind father. In his dying day, he deceived him. You remember the story, don't you? Why did that happen? Well, so we'd have Genesis 27, didn't we? Huh? So we'd have such a picture of Christ. Nevertheless, Jacob, can you imagine what a rotten son he was, man? Deceive his brother and his father? Is this whom God loves? Yeah. God's going to do something for this one. Yes, he is. And you know, when Jacob was saved, when was Jacob saved? I believe it was chapter 28. Turn over there, chapter 28. I believe is when the Lord regenerated Jacob. I may be wrong, I don't know, but nevertheless, everything in Jacob's life, I talked about Jacob being a man in God's purpose. Everything in Jacob's life, if you're in God's saving purpose, everything in your life works together to bring a desired end, to bring God's purpose, works together for good. And we're going to see that. Everything in the life of Jacob. Even his sins. Now, God's not the author of sin. God's not the cause of Jacob's sin. Nevertheless, even the sins of Jacob, God allowed that to fulfill his purpose. To fulfill his purpose. And now listen to this. Listen to this statement. Though our sins separate us from God, though our sins separate us from God, yet They drive us to Christ. They drive us to Christ. They do. Jacob, we're going to see, he's on the run. He gets in a mess. His family is nothing but just torn all to pieces. All of his sons and his one daughter just give him nothing but heartache. But it all drives him to his God. Happy is he at the God of Jacob for his help. Jacob will tell you about that. Well, Jacob was chosen to know God. Here in chapter 28, oh my, this is wonderful. Look at chapter 28, verse 11. Jacob lighted upon a certain place. He just happened to light. That's an old country saying. He just lighted, and he just lighted on a certain place. That is, he came to a certain place. A place where God was going to meet him. And he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, Jacob is running from his brother Esau. He's a no good brother deceiver, father deceiver. He's feeling pretty rotten. He's running. He's scared. Running from his brother. He's out in the wilderness. He lies down, makes these stones his pillow, and that's written on purpose. But here he is, this poor, pitiful, no good Jacob, lying on the side of a hill, running from his brother. His life been nothing but an absolute mess up to this point. Now, this is who God chose, and here's where he meets him. In verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Top of the ladder reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. What's that? You know what that ladder is? That's Christ. Huh? Jacob's ladder is Jacob's Christ. That's the way to God. God who descended to this earth. And God who ascended back to heaven. Huh? The way to heaven. That's Christ Himself is that ladder. Read on. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, what Lord? Who's the Lord here talking? The only one that ever spoke to any human being was Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who that is. And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest. Now here he makes a promise to him. I'm going to give you the land. And to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and thee. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, will bring thee again unto this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, I've just met the Lord. Surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know Him. I've heard Dad talking about the Lord. Dad pronounced all these blessings, you know, the prophecies to Jacob. And I don't believe he knew the Lord up to that point. But now he says, I've heard of Him with the hearing of ear and now I've seen Him. I've heard from Him myself. And so does every son of Jacob. Going to have to Lord going to have to appear to him or her personally. And he noticed that the Lord didn't ask Jacob, like Rachel. The Lord didn't ask Jacob anything, did he? Later on he asked him one thing. What's your name? But he didn't ask him anything here, Dan. He didn't say, will you accept me? How did the Lord regenerate this man? Just by telling him who he was, who God was, and what God had done and promised and was going to do for him. Right? So Jacob was chosen to know God. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Isaiah 43. Listen. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you might know and believe me and understand that I am He. Who? He who chose you. That's true. You see, that's the true and living God, and all those who know Him know that He chose them. That's one of the first things they learn. I'm the Lord that chose you to know me that chose you. All right. Now, that ladder, that's Christ. We've already looked at that. Well, look at chapter 32. This is where the Lord came and wrestled with it.
No, I love this.
Jacob was chosen was by God, and Jacob was laid hold on by God. This is salvation. It's when God lays hold on us, apprehends us. Paul said, I've been apprehended. Apprehended. Laid hold on. And we lay hold on Him, like Jacob did. Look at this, verse 24, chapter 32. Jacob was left alone. And you know, what a message. That man is not a soul winner who keeps hounding people. He's a true soul winner who leaves them alone with his God. Barnard used to just absolutely say things to just people. He just didn't understand why he said and did some of the things he would say and do. You know, like a young man one time said, Brother Barnard, he said, I want to serve the Lord. And whatever Barnard was doing, he just kept on doing and ignored him. And the young man said, Brother Barnard, I want to serve the Lord. And then Barnard looked up from what he was doing and said, well, do it. And went back to doing what he was doing. That's all he said to him. Man was riding along with Brother Barnard in the car one time. Young man. Barnard was driving. And young man, you know, wanting to have a conversation with Brother Barnard on prayer. And he said, Brother Barnard. Brother Barnard, he said, what is prayer? Barnard just kept driving, didn't answer. Didn't answer. And Brother Barnard, he said, about 5-10 minutes of silence, what is prayer? And Brother Barnard said finally, it has something to do with the will of God. Has it? Leave him alone. We're talkers, aren't we? Explainers. And like I said, that's a whole message by itself. Jacob was left alone. He's going to meet who he needs to meet. That's why our Lord said, when you pray, don't go down front here where all these people are making their, you know, so that that soul winner can notch his belt and you pray the sinner's prayer with a... Don't do that. You hear, the sinner's prayer is like Jacob. You go home. You get alone with God. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. Look at it, verse 24. Who was wrestling with who? A man was wrestling with Jacob. Jacob didn't know the Lord. Jacob wasn't seeking the Lord. Jacob was left alone, okay? And the Lord came to him and laid hold on him. It's like he's sleeping there and the Lord grabbed hold of him and said, wake up, sinner. Listen to me. Shook him, wrestled with him. Get up. Why sleepest thou, old slugger? I got something to say to you. I want to say something. Sit up here and wrestle with him, Henry. We need it, don't we? When the Lord, that's what we need. The Lord first reveals himself to us. We need a good shaking up till the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. Now he's speaking in the terms of a man. What he's saying there is that Jacob was wrestling with him too. Jacob realized that somebody's got hold of me, and it's not a mere man. That this is somebody special here, because of the way he was being dealt with, and he knew when he was being dealt with by the Lord. And verse 25 said he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and it was wrestled or out of joint. And as he wrestled with him, and he said, "Let me go." Angel, a daybreaker. He's going to try his persistence, Jacob's persistence. Jacob said, I will not let thee go until you bless me, except you bless me. See, Jacob knows this is the Lord. This is what it means to seek the Lord. This is what it means to be wrestled with and to wrestle with the Lord. So-and-so seeking the Lord, is he? Well, then he will find him. And that's what Jacob said. I will not let thee go except you bless me. What's your name? One and only question God asked sons of Jacob. What's your name? He knew what his name was. He came to wrestle with it. He's telling Jacob to confess. Fess up what you are. Jacob means cheat. Jacob means supplant. Jacob means no good. Jacob means sinner. What's your name? He said, Jacob. And that's when he changed his name to Israel, which means prince. Yeah, you're Jacob. That's right. But I'm going to change you into a prince. Because I've chosen you. And I came to lay hold on you. Came to reveal myself to you. That's what every son of Jacob has happened to him. And from that day forward now, Jacob began to walk with his God, and seek his God, and call on his God. Chapter 29. Back in chapter 29. God spoke to him. Back in chapter 29 is what we looked at. He went where God told him to go. Where his father. His father told, or God told his father, you know, don't. What God told, you know, God told not to be married to unbelievers. You go to my people. And so what Esau did, Esau went and married the woman of the world because she was good looking. Had a couple of them. And you remember Jacob and Esau's mother, Rebekah, said, these girls are going to be the death of me. They're killing me. These daughters of Esau, they're killing me. I'm going to die. And she said, if Jacob doesn't marry a believer, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Jacob did what the Lord told him to. And buddy, he got a good wife, didn't he? Rachel. And boy, he had a good son too. Joseph. But he went where God told him to go after that. Go find a daughter of my people. And he did. And he did. And God said, and I will bless you. And he did, and he did. Rachel had one son for a long time. Well, you wouldn't need another boy if you had a Joseph. But God was so good later on, she got a Benjamin too. Rachel. Well, so he went where God told him to go, where his father and mother told him to go, in search of a wife. He served, listen to this man, from that day forward, he wanted this girl so bad, Rachel. He was so in love with her. And Rachel's father said, you can have her. She can be your wife. 7 years from now. You're going to have to go to work on my farm for 7 years if you want this girl. And you know, it said that he worked 7 years and it seemed like just a few days. That's what it said. Jacob loved Rachel so much. She was worth waiting 7 years for. And when he got her, he had a wife. But now, you remember what happened. Laban was his name. His father-in-law was a no good mom. And he deceived Jacob. Jacob somehow ended up with Leah. Remember? And it's bad. Why did that happen? Jacob knew why that happened. Didn't it? So he was tried and chastened. Here's another thing about Jacob. Jacob was tried and chastened. He was a God-fearing. You know, the Lord appeared to him, and he became a God-fearing, God-seeking, committed man. But that did not leave him without chastening and being tried. Why? He deserved it. going to teach him. Henry, he got deceived too. Why? Because he was a deceiver. All his life, from then on, he's going to be reminded of who he is. God keep calling Jacob, 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 Jacob. Now, God changed his name. He's Israel. But he kept reminding Jacob that you're just Jacob. And he was tried, he was chastened, but he submitted. He submitted to God's trying. He worked 20 years in his father-in-law's home. 20 years after it was all over. He worked 7 and got the wrong woman. Especially a rotten one like Laban. Huh? That's what he was. Before it was all over, Jacob said, man, oh man, he was tried, but he was a broken man. Wasn't he? But he submitted. He submitted to it. And God was in him and everything, with him and everything. God was with him and everything because he submitted to everything the Lord sent his way because he deserved everything he got. But he submitted patiently to it 20 years. And God was with him and everything. And by the time he left there, he had an abundance. He had wives and children and sheep and goats and just land. See, even all those trials worked out for his abundance. And then look at chapter 31. Jacob was hated, persecuted by everybody. Everybody hated him. Everybody persecuted him. Chapter 31, verse 1. Laban's sons, his brothers-in-law, they heard the words of Jacob heard the word of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away everything as our father. He's taken away his glory. They hated Jacob. He's got it all. He's stolen it all. No, he didn't. Laban wouldn't have had anything if Jacob hadn't been industrious and ingenious farmer that he was. Jacob devised a way, Brother Charlie, Jacob devised a way to make cattle breed and produce real good cattle. This man was sharp. Roy, this fella was a farmer now. He took no good, worthless cattle and made a good herd out of them. He knew what he was doing. And he wasn't, I got this wrong before, he wasn't swindling his father-in-law. His father-in-law was a no good farmer, and his sons weren't any good either. They didn't know what to do. Jacob did. God's people aren't worthless people. They're good, hard workers, and the Lord blesses what they do. They're industry. And it all turned into gold for both Jacob and Laban. Jacob and Laban. Well, but they hated him. They hated him. He was a good brother-in-law. He was a good worker. He was God-fearing, but they hated him. They persecuted him. Look at verses 22 through 23. Jacob was starting to leave with his family. It was his right. Man, he's about 60 years old by this time. Or 50 anyway. Time to leave home, isn't it, Brother Henry? He said, I want to go. Give me my wives. And Laban didn't want him to leave because he'd get rich off of Jacob. Well, he rose up and he fled with all he had, verse 22, and he was told Laban that Jacob was fled. In verse 23, he took his brother with him, pursued after him 7 day journey, and overtook him. And man, Laban lashed into him. Said, who do you think you are? Everything you've got is mine. That's what Laban said to him. He said, those are my daughters. That's my cattle. Oh, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It's Jacob's. And what a picture of Christ this is, or Jacob is, and all of this, isn't it? Hated by his brethren, and he's the one. Laban had everything he had because of Jacob. And the sons of Adam that hate God, that hate Christ, have everything they have because of him. And yet they say, it's mine, it's mine. No, it's not either. You have it because I gave it to you. My goodness. My wisdom. Well, chapter 32, verses 9 through 12, is what his brother Esau was after him. Chapter 32, look at verse 6 and 7. The messenger returned to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men. Oh. So he just escaped Laban and all of those no good scoundrel brothers-in-law of his. They hated him. Just escaped all that. And here he is now going home, and here comes Esau with 400 men. Oh. When will it end? Jacob thought. One thing after another. I'm sure he thought, well, I'm going home now, and things will be a little bit better. Here comes Esau, 400 people. He thought, I'm getting what I deserve. I'm getting what I deserve. Oh, my. Hated. And Jacob was called on and was dependent upon his God. Look at verses 9 through 12. Jacob said, "Oh God, where else is he going to turn? Oh, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord." Jacob said, "Oh God, my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, God of my father, God of..." He remembered saying, he's pleading with God. Abraham sinned. His grandfather, Abraham, "Oh God of my father, grandfather Abraham, who denied his wife and who was running scared, and God of my father Isaac, who denied his wife and who was running scared. I'm scared. You who said unto me, return unto your country and to thy kin." Now you told me to do this. He's pleading God's word. God's promises. Verse 10. What a verse. "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." People, that's the best verse in all the Bible. Put a circle around that. That's just wonderful. This is the prayer of every son of Jacob. "I am not worthy of the least of all your mercy, the greatest of which is all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." You didn't show it to Esau. Didn't show it to Laban. Show it to Laban. "And with my staff I passed over Jordan, and now I've become two bands, and deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother." Going to smite me. Verse 12. "You said..." Jacob is pleading God's word, God's promise. "You said..." This is what you said. "Lord, I'm pleading with you, your word and your promise. You said, I will surely do thee good." That's what you said to this old Jacob. It's what you said to me when you found me, when I was a no good scoundrel, and here I am again, a no good scoundrel. But this is what you said. "I will surely do thee good and make your seed as the sand of the sea." Well, that's Jacob. Not much commendable. There's some things, you know, but not much, right? Chosen and loved by God. Purpose of God and purpose of God. Hated and persecuted. Just all these things. Chosen to know God. Became a God-fearing, seeking man yet. Well, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Jacob's God. We've already said this. Jacob's God. You turn back to chapter 28 real quickly. Jacob's God, as we've already said, and I love to say it again. I think myself happy to say this again. And Jacob's God was a sovereign electing God. Jacob's God chose Jacob. Ask Jacob, "Jacob, what do you think about election?" "Oh, praise God for choosing me. I'd have been just like Esau.
I was worse than Esau.
Oh, praise God for sovereign electing grace. That's what Jacob would have said. That's what all Jacob's sons say. They love the God of Jacob, electing God. Sovereign loving God. What, Jacob, what do you think about sovereign love? Jacob, do you think that there's something good in you? Do you think that there's something God ought to love about you? Do you think that you're just, that God ought to love you? Oh, Jacob said. Does it read that God loves me? Does it say that? Yeah, it sure does. Jacob, have I loved? Praise God for sovereign love. There's nothing ever been, there's nothing about me worth loving, Jacob would have said. And so do every one of Jacob's sons. Yes, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob to love him. Sovereign love. God had to set his love and decide to love Jacob. There's nothing lovely about it. That's what every son of Jacob says. Those who don't aren't. Plain as that. What do you think about sovereign love? Well, I think God ought to love everybody. You sound like an Esau to me. Jacob's God is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. That's who he is. The God of Jacob is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Look at this again, chapter 28. In case you didn't see it the first time, I looked at it 7 times and didn't see it till the 7th. Verse 15, behold, look at all that God says to Jacob. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places. Whither, it doesn't matter where you go or what you go through or what you do, I'm with thee. And I will bring thee again. Look at this covenant-making, promise-making, covenant-keeping. I will. I am and I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Oh, my. Jacob's hope was in a God who said, I am, I will give, I will keep, I will bring, I will do. Yes, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. God did not ask Jacob anything ever except what his name was. And every other time when God spoke, it was, I will, I shall, I will give, I will keep, I will bring, I will. That's because that's who I am. You are who you are, yes. And I am that I am. Your God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy. You know what Jacob, look at Jacob's reply, verse 16. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and the first words out of his mouth was, surely. Surely. After he heard the I wills and the I shalls, he said, well, surely. You see that? No doubt about his salvation. No doubt about his gospel. Tell us your gospel in one word, Jacob. Surely. You got that, didn't you, John? First words out of his mouth, surely. Out of his loins comes a surety. Well, this covenant was made concerning Jacob's salvation before Jacob was born, made concerning the seed. I noticed some eyes light up when we read that. The seed. This God of Jacob, chapter 35. Chapter 35 is a merciful, gracious, compassionate God. Merciful, gracious, compassionate God. He's a sovereign electing God. He's a sovereign loving God. He's a covenant making, keeping God. He's a merciful, gracious, and compassionate God. Now, the Lord appeared to Jacob when he was a cheat and a sinner, and he kept appearing to him. He kept appearing to him. Look at chapter 35, verses 9 and 10. God appeared unto Jacob again and again and again and again. God kept appearing to Jacob. Merciful, gracious, delights to show mercy. Jacob would get in a mess and God appeared to him again. Appeared to him again. Psalm 107 talks about Israel, Jacob, sons of in the wilderness, and the messes they got in. They called up and he came to them again. Answered them every time. Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help. Merciful, gracious, compassionate. He's the sovereign redeemer. Turn over to Isaiah and we'll quit with a few verses in Isaiah. He's Jacob's sovereign redeemer. And Brother Nybert pointed out to me that, you know, this is the title that God is refers to Himself by more than any other. God of Jacob. That's significant, isn't it? Pharisees say, this man receiveth sinner. Yes, the God of Jacob. That's who He is. He's on top of the ladder. He's the one that Stephen looked up and saw standing. Same one Jacob did. All sons of Jacob said. He's Jacob's sovereign redeemer. Chapter 43, verse 1. Now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. Not I might, not I made a down payment, not I made it possible. Ain't no son of Jacob ever said God made salvation possible. What if you'd ask Jacob? Jacob, did God make your salvation possible? No, He redeemed me. How foolish can you get? Thus saith the Lord, I have redeemed thee, having obtained eternal redemption, it Scripture said, doesn't it? John, Jacob. Why? Because I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You're not your own. You're what? Bought, redeemed with a price. I love what Barnard said. Well, it doesn't say what it means. It says what it says. Well, that doesn't mean that. What can it mean? Huh? It says what it says. Well, look at verse 3. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Who's this talking here? Is there any doubt in your mind who God is? Who the Redeemer is? What He did? Jesus Christ, isn't it? Savior? Did Jacob know Christ? Are you talking to him? Look at Isaiah. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Ethiopian Seba. Since you were precious in my sight, you've been honorable, and I love it. Oh, man. Sovereign Redeemer. He's Jacob's God. Oh, happy is he that's the God of Jacob. Jacob's God is the sovereign provider. Chapter 44. Quickly. Chapter 44. I got 2 minutes. You'll turn quick. He's Jacob's sovereign provider. Chapter 44, verses 1. And following, hear this, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I will pour water upon him that's thirsty, floods on the dry ground. I'll put my spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thine offspring. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows and watercourses. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to provide for you. Jacob's keeper. We read that in Isaiah 41 where he said, I'll keep you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you. Isaiah 46 where he said, I'll bear you. I'll carry you even to your old age. I'm he. I'll carry you. I made you. I'll bear you. Even I will carry you and I will deliver you. Oh, happy is he that the God of Jacob. His head. Jacob, fear not. I'm going to carry you. You know, I have to walk one step. You know, I have to do one thing.
going to do? I've already done it all. Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help. Happy. Happy is he. Because God hath said, and I'll quote this. You tell me where it's found. Where he said, now I'm the Lord, and I change not. I am the Lord, and I change not. I don't change my mind. Whoever I choose, they're chosen. They're chosen. Whoever I love, they're loved with an everlasting love. Mm-hmm. Nobody can say anything about it. Do it again. Whomever I redeem, they're redeemed. I don't change my mind. I don't take back the gifts of God without repentance. I don't take it back. Whoever I redeem, I don't give them back. Because they're worthless. They're mine. They're bought with a price. Whoever I tell the truth to, and they trust me and believe that truth. Anybody trust me will never be put to shame. Ever. Ever. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. I don't change. I do not change my mind. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, can you quote the rest of it? You sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. Learn that. Learn that. It'll be the best verse in the Bible to you. I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God should have been done with Jacob a long time ago. He shouldn't have chosen him. And all that he went through, the mess he got in, I said, that's enough. No. I'm the Lord. I change not. I'm the God of Jacob. What do you say? Oh, happy. Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his health, whose trust is in the Lord his God. All right. Stand with me. Our Father, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How blessed we are, though not worthy of the least of your mercy, yet how blessed we are that you've shown us all this truth and you made us glad. We know the joyful sound. The joyful sound is Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. The joyful sound is Malachi 3:6. You're the Lord that changed not. And so sons of Jacob, cheats, sinners, no goods are not consumed. You're the covenant-keeping, merciful, gracious, kind, eternal Redeemer of all sons of Jacob. How we thank you. All Israel will be saved. We plead just as Jacob pled. Your mercy, your grace, your kindness. All about us. Oppose us. We oppose ourselves. But when time we are afraid, we'll call on thee, O God of Jacob, in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you.